For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Just planning to launch into a new week with Tyler Johnson, Robert Bortuzzo, and Philip Zadina. Apologies to all three. They've been derailed here on Sabres Live thanks to deferred contracts, Leon Draisaitl, and my quest to get Trivia Tuesday off the ground. So we'll see if we, you know what, and Philadelphia's team of the day, and we may or may not get there. We may have to alter our schedule here in the month of September. There's a lot to talk about, Marty B, and guess what? We have arrived in the non-Monday era.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Sabres Live.
Yesterday was Labor Day. I hope everybody had a good long weekend. I watched a lot of tennis, and
I'll bet you did.
Yeah, I did. It was awesome, which may come up on my best and worst of the weekend, because I want to be like Kramer. I want to be a ball boy at the U.S. Open. I literally, because that may come up as well in the best and worst of the weekend. But no, you're absolutely right. We wake up here on this first show of September, and I saw news flash: Torrey Krug is going to miss the whole season for the St. Louis Blues, undergo ankle surgery. I'm like,
not real news.
We kind of knew that was going to happen, but I'm like, oh, this news. And then somehow the Draisaitl contract extension came about. We want to talk about Seth Jarvis and his contract. There's hockey to be played this month. A lot of preseason games, prospect challenges, single tickets, on sale. There's a lot going
on. Single game seats are now on sale for all 40 Sabres home games and preseason games. So
yes,
you, of course.
That means it's September. That means there's hockey to be played. I love it.
Yes. And what color is your cap? Your cap is
Sunday,
black,
which
right?
Which is always fun. Yeah, it's a
so we've unintentionally embraced the black and red theme today. So that's good. There's
I was
going
to say Bills games is on Sunday. So that means, hey, if the NFL is starting, hockey season is right around the corner.
It's a 1 o'clock game, right?
Yes, yeah, Sunday afternoon. Mm. Arizona in Buffalo.
Might miss a little of it. Going to be in transit.
But, yeah, well, you better just put on WGR and listen to...
I don't know if they get it on in that means of transportation, but we'll see.
You get the Odyssey app on your... Oh, actually, if you're not in... This is what... The Odyssey app is great, but if you're not in the market, you don't get the Bills game. You got to go to NFL.com. You listen to it on the radio that way.
Right. There's a big birthday in Saberland as well.
Yes.
Historic Saberland. So we'll get to that too. I'm going to try and minimize this and then pick up the pace. Leon Draisaitl, 8 years, $14 million per, $112 million total. All apologies to Leon. What will Connor's deal be?
Well, Connor's probably going to be $16
million. So there's going to be $2 million more for McDavid than Draisaitl?
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be $30 million between the two of them. And that's what it is. And we talked about Bouchard, right? It's going to be $10 million. And it's going to be $40 million between the three of them in Edmonton. And that, look, they're great players. They've had success. They got to the finals. Draisaitl was a year left on an eight-year deal that paid him $8.5 million. And if you ask anybody in Edmonton, they're going to say, that was a bargain for what Draisaitl produced over the last... and a half to 14.
So is this a bargain too?
I can't say 14 is a bargain. I mean, It's fair market value. It's fair market value. What is Leon Draisaitl going to be when he gets to 34, 35, 36 years old? Like, there's going
probably
to be
still a Hall of Famer and probably still challenging for the Art Ross.
Is it a possibility? Yes. Obviously, he's 28 now, so he has a year left. This contract won't kick in until he's 29, and that's 8 years. So 29 to 37. Mm-hmm. That's really what you're getting to. I'm just saying, by the time he's 34, is $14 million going to be too much for Leon Draisaitl? What is he going to be
like? It'll
be a
drop in the bucket, man.
I don't know that I could call $14 million a drop in the bucket.
Well,
but
what do you think the cap's going to be then?
Well, in six,
cap's going to be 110 minimum.
Probably 110.
Right?
But you're still going to be paying him, McDavid, a lot of money for three players, and I get that. They deserve it. They're worth it.
Oh, by the way,
salary structure is built for that.
Sorry to interrupt. No. Ovi is 38 and he just scored 31 goals last year. So yeah. I have no doubt that Leon, with his running mate in McDavid at full health, will still be producing at a higher clip than that. So
I think he'll be producing at a high clip. Does that mean that Leon Draisaitl this season was 41 goals, 65 assists, 106 points, right? Mm-hmm. We've seen him perform better than that. Are we seeing Leon Draisaitl at 100 points, making $14 million a year for 5 years? This year and then the first four of that 8-year deal, is it every year? I think he's going to get at least a point a game for the 8-year deal. It's just a matter of, can he get to 120, 125 a few times in there?
Yes.
No, yes.
It's not even debatable. Do you know?
Well, he had a good year this year, and he was 106, right? So
what's wrong with that?
Games. Well, I'm just saying, getting to 125, 120, 125 is what you expect out of a $14 million player, and he's 20 points short of that.
You're going down a slippery slope, because if you start looking at other people over 10 right now, you're not seeing that production consistently. And Leon has been nothing short of consistent. And you know the drum that I was banging at the early stages of this playoff season, where I was emphatically trying to remind people that through the course of their playoff careers, Draisaitl was actually ahead of McDavid.
Yeah.
Now, even with Connor's historic finish or entirety to this year's playoff run, if you want to look at it that way, the two of them have still both appeared in 74 playoff games. There's only 9 points between them. McDavid has just now separated a little bit from Draisaitl in playoff production, 108 points in 74 playoff games for Leon Draisaitl. So this is a slam dunk bargain deal. It will live up to its ink on paper today and for all 8 years, in my opinion.
Yeah. Okay. I think there is a much better chance of this being a slam dunk deal. Although Nathan MacKinnon, who I believe right now is the second best player in the league after Connor McDavid. For me, it's MacKinnon, right?
Well, he is this year. He's the reigning Hart Trophy winner.
Yeah, I think for me, it's McDavid, MacKinnon, Kucherov, Draisaitl. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, and then Matthews comes in at fifth, right? MacKinnon is $12.6 million. MacKinnon was the original bargain deal at, what was it, $6.3 million.
Matthews is now the bargain deal.
Matthews?
Yeah. He's just over 13. Yeah. And nobody's close to him in goal scoring.
Yeah, he could get to 70 goals. This is where I think there's a, I don't want to call it an imbalance, but we look at somebody getting 65 points a year and we're like, that's $6.5 million. Well, you know, somebody getting 70 goals a year should be like, you know, three times that. Like 70 goals is so amazing. But there's a little bit of a, okay, the top guys are going to be almost capped with McDavid, Draisaitl, and Matthews and MacKinnon and the money they're making.
It's funny you just opened that door for me, because I was going to roar through anyway and ask the question, is Leon Draisaitl twice the player Seth Jarvis is?
Because technically it's almost twice the money,
it's
right?
It's almost exactly twice the money.
Do I want Tuukka Rask or one Leon Draisaitl? That's kind of like where the question is at. Do I want a Dylan Cousins and a Tuukka Rask, who are both going to be making about $14 million together, right? Mm-hmm. Or a Leon Draisaitl at $14 million? That's a hard question to answer.
Interesting, though, right?
I almost feel to say, like, I want a Leon Draisaitl. Do I want a Connor McDavid at $16 million? Yes, I want a Connor McDavid. But do I like a Thompson and Cousins that's going to cost me less than Connor McDavid will most likely make? Yeah, I like that, too. It always depends on the success and how your team is built.
So
right now, the Sabres are hoping to have success with Thompson and Cousins and Dahlin and those guys. The Oilers have got to do it a different way.
At a much higher salary scale for their individual stars. Buffalo's exception to that rule is, of course, Rasmus Dahlin making $11 million this year and moving forward. Mm-hmm. So, Leon Draisaitl will soon be, very briefly, number one in salary, right?
Yes.
Cap hit, I guess I should say, because there are some fluctuations year to year, some guys making 16, whatever.
Yes.
I'm assuming it's only going to last 1 year, right?
Well, it's technically it'll be the highest paid next year at the start of next season. It will last
like
1 year.
Not this year.
Connor McDavid happens. Yes.
Yeah. So because Matthews is just starting his 4 year and because McKinnon's already locked up and we don't imagine Panarin's going to get to 14 at his age, when his deal comes up in a couple of years, who would be the next player that could enter into this stratosphere to jumble up the top five and whatever you want to call it, cap hit? Or, yeah.
Okay, the next one. Because a lot of those guys, like I had to look at the youth, right? Because of Seth Jarvis' contract, I'm looking at guys that have signed a big deal right after the entry.
Like even Quinn
deal.
Hughes and, you know, like Makar's still got term on his. And like, I'm not afraid to project defensemen into this stratosphere now based on the fact that Dahlin's at 11 and you're seeing the production from these other guys, right? So, yeah, it's, I don't know. It's kind of, I think it's a good question. I don't know if we know yet.
Because,
you know, even Willie Nylander's got his deal starting this year, right? So, like, I don't know.
A lot of the guys that are coming off the books, the Drew Doughty, the John Tavares, they're older. They're not getting that money.
Correct.
Is Jack Eichel getting, he's not getting
there
that.
There you go.
He's one of the early one. Like, is Eichel at $10 million? Can he stay at 10? Does he go up to 12? Like, that's probably
does he take a Matthews
guy.
Type deal next?
Like a 5-year
probably not,
deal?
Right? Probably not. He probably, well, again, we.
He'll be 29.
I know. And I've said all along that he's just going to go back to Boston, right? So, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, for another day.
It's for put that in the computer and see who are the ones that are going to be coming up.
Producer Jeff's got it right. It's Connor Bedard. We should have said that right off the bat. Oh, I mean, the Hawks will give him everything. They will, right?
They will. The Hawks will give him everything. You're right. Producer Jeff coming through in the clutch here with Connor Bedard. Because he is the number one overall pick.
We Powers found Jeff's niche. Signed. He likes to start weeks on Tuesdays.
Yes, I know. Seriously, that works. But yeah,
I'm with you, baby.
Powers signed his deal already, so that's done. And you got to look at who's the next guy. And I think Connor Bedard is definitely the next guy that's going to get a ton of money in his second deal.
It's definitely not a Monday here in the office because there were no muffins and no donuts. So they're obviously deferring that until next Monday. And Seth Jarvis has decided to defer his donuts and muffins and cookies and all the rest until the end of his 8-year deal. What did you make of the Seth Jarvis 8-year contract with Carolina that, depending on who you talk to, is worth a different total?
Well, it is worth a different total. What is interesting with this contract is that nobody realized that the Carolina Hurricanes did the same deferred money with Jacob Slavin. When Slavin signed his deal on July 1 and there was $1 billion worth of business, nobody realized that the Carolina Hurricanes saved about $80,000 a year on Slavin's contract by deferring some money at the end of the contract, right? So now that worked. The league said, we're okay with this. Nobody complained. Everybody's fine. So now Eric Tulsky, who's a very smart numbers type of guy, right? He came through the system in Carolina, is now the general manager. He's looking at his payroll and he says, we cannot afford the money that we feel we're going to have to give Seth Jarvis. Jarvis was looking at roughly around $8 million. The Carolina Hurricanes did not have $8 million to give. So, well, they could have with some player movement or whatever, but they already took a bunch of hits this year. They don't want to keep taking more hits. So they're like, how do we make it work and keep everybody in place? Mm-hmm. So basically, Seth Jarvis agreed to an 8-year deal worth $63.2 million. Mm-hmm. So that would be close to an $8 million cap hit. But what they decided to do, it offered Jarvis, instead of $15 million in signing bonuses that are spread out to the contract right now, and year one, year two, year seven, instead of getting $15.6 million in signing bonuses those years, we're going to give you $4 more million. We'll give you $19.6 million, but take it after year eight. So that way, we can defer some payments, we can drop the salary cap, and instead of 7.9, it's 7.5. So they saved $500,000 close on the cap by deferring some payments. But it's costing Carolina $4 more million to do so. And, you know, Jarvis is making $4 million more in real money at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. I don't know enough about big business. You think they have like a little Jarvis fund off to the side here on what they're saving now, and it goes into an investment portfolio, and then it turns into exactly what they need it to turn into by the end? Is that the realm of this wealth existence that I don't, you know, have any understanding of?
I don't have a business, diploma or an investment diploma or whatnot, but I was always told
that... No, but you do well when selling cars and turning vehicles in,
But I was always told that for every 8 to 10 years, you should basically double like that money, right?
Wow.
So if you're getting 10% or whatever. So what Jarvis did is, instead of taking $15 million throughout the deal, he's taken 19 later. So it's a 24% increase basically in 8 years.
Oh, so how much?
I think
money.
Carolina ultimately probably ends up making, like, if they put that money right now and they just let it grow 10% a year, they're going to end up saving on the big term. I think Jarvis is taking a bigger number, but less if you invest it well.
In the season, the first season of Seth Jarvis's next contract, what will his take home be from the NHL that year?
The first season after?
Like the year that will include all of this deferred
signing
payment
bonus
plus his next contract.
Yeah, I mean, because you got to think that Seth Jarvis, because he's like 22 years old, he'll have another big contract, probably paying him like another,
let's just say nine or 10. Or, yeah.
So 10 plus, a year plus the $19 million that he'll get, he'll make $29 million.
He's Scotty Scheffler's caddy.
No, yeah. Guy made a lot. He would have been like top 10 in money. Oh, in the PGA,
that was actually one of the points I was going to make, though, was we sit here and we talk about the clubhouse leader, if you will, in, you know, cap hit, total contract value, all the rest of it. Leon is going to make $14 million in a season. Scottie Scheffler just made over 62.
Yes.
Like, holy cow.
Also won 7 tournament and the league championship and everything. So the
I know. PGA. It's wild though, isn't it? It's just a perspective thing. That's all. Like, it's a lot. But
I will say this. There's also a lot of golfers that are number 150, 180 on the tour that are not making what the 180th player in the NHL is making, right? So top 100 is making good money. Everybody after that in the PGA is really grinding week in, week out, try to get in there. But yeah, okay. So the Draisaitl, let's remember Draisaitl, $14 million a year. That's a straight up no deferred money. And when Jarvis's contract came about, that there was that much deferred money, that there was $15.6 million in the deal that was going to be paid out at the very end of the deal. And that turned out to be $19.6 million. So they're giving him $4 million for taking it later.
Mm-hmm.
I started to think, well, number one, how is that even possible? Mm-hmm. I never, in the years that I've covered the game, seen anybody explore that. It is in the CBA, but why would Jarvis take that, or why would Carolina do it? It had to be a perfect situation where a player says, okay, well, I'm going to make my money in some way, shape, or form, but Carolina didn't have the cap space to really fit him in there, so they make it happen. My next question was, is that something that's going to happen more? Is that something that we're going to see more? Like, is McDavid going to say the Oilers, okay, I'll take this amount, like Shohei Ohtani with the Dodgers. I'll take $2 million a year for 8 years, and then at the end of my contract, I want $120 million, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you have 8 years to collect $120 million, and that's what I want.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen more. I don't think it's going to be a regular occurrence of, hey, this guy has deferred money. I think it has to be the perfect situation, and that with Carolina figured out to be the perfect situation. But if you start having one, two, three, four players with deferred money, I mean, I don't want to be that accountant that has to figure out like how things are going to work, because it's going to get complicated.
For whom?
For the teams. The players, they're fine. Like, if you want to offer me more money to take it later, I'll say yes. But it's the teams that have to manage the next contracts, the draft picks, the projection, right? It's hard to make projection when you have deferred money. It's like the football and the Bills. They're like, oh, we're restructuring a contract. Usually, if you're restructuring a contract, it's to push down the road, and it's not good for the teams.
Well, it's not good for the owner.
Exactly.
Is it? Yeah, well, like, it doesn't really affect the day-to-day team. It's more like, I just look at this like, why would any hockey owner want to just, well, okay, if they have designs on selling a team, and if this gets them out from under.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying this is, I'm just literally blowing smoke here, hypothetically, right? But why would an owner want to defer it and then know that they've got added costs to whatever their business is down the road? And why would a player want it when everybody wants the money now? Like, it's kind of a weird thing. And
it's a weird thing because, like, Seth Jarvis in year one was going to make $7.23 million in bonuses. Mm-hmm. But instead of making $7.2 million in bonuses, he's going to make $9 million in 8 years. So they're already giving you almost a $1.8 million bonus for taking it in 8 years from now. And then year two, it's $3.4
million. Is that really a bonus, though? Because if you invested it properly this year, wouldn't you make more off of it?
Technically, but you also have to pay taxes on it and everything. So there has to be a team of people that's looking at it, that's saying to Seth Jarvis, yeah, that makes sense, right? In year two, it's almost $1.6 million more. Right. So in the first 2 years, they're basically telling you, we'll give you $3 million more, but we'll give it to you in 8 years. Yeah. Yes, you're right. It doesn't seem to me like it makes sense for Seth Jarvis, other than the fact that he's saying, I'm getting my money and I'm getting more of it. I'll find a way to make it work.
Yeah. You got to hurry up and wait, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, but he's 22. Like, how much?
No, I know.
How much is life costing him right now? Despite the fact that he'll make, I want to say his base salary this year. I did have it.
Jeff's got it there. It's only $2 million.
It's only $2 million, right? So he's saying, I'm willing to take $2 million this year, despite the fact that my
cap seems wrong, doesn't it?
It's like $7.4 million.
Yeah, I don't know.
And in year two,
he's a prairie boy, and you know, they're just good people, and they don't really.
It's Rod Brindamore. It's the Hurricanes way. It's like, hey, listen.
Is Rod managing the deals now?
Rod's having a conversation with Seth Jarvis, and he's saying, look, man, when I was your age, I would have done it. I would have done it 100%.
Yeah, but I would have come in and benched 750 pounds in front of the owner.
Yes.
just to prove how valuable I was.
I would have done it. I would have done it, right? Then they probably went and explained the whole Bobby Bonilla thing, as instead of taking $6 million there, you take $25 million, but in 25 years from now. Like, that's basically the whole premises of it, the deferred money, that's the most famous one of all time.
So the other lead stories that never got the proper attention, Tyler Johnson, PTO in Boston, it means nothing right now because, of course, being that he's on a PTO, he could actually still sign a contract with any other team in the league. Like, he's this not signed. Like, he's not signed by the Bruins. He has a tryout opportunity. But, of course, if you were to read the papers online in Boston, it would be like, oh, a genius move. This is brilliant. I'm like, yeah, he might not even end up there. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Because he's basically trying out for 31 other teams at the same time. Like, he plays preseason games. And if Chicago calls and they're like, hey, we're offering you a contract.
They
like,
just had him.
They just had him. But if they're like, hey, you look a lot better than you did last year, we want you back.
Robert Bortuzzo gets a two-way contract in Utah. So that's also interesting. And former Sabre PTO possibility, allegedly, Philip Zadina signs for 2 years in Switzerland. So
when his agent said there's no through to the PTO in Buffalo, that we're actually talking to other teams about a real contract, he didn't say talking to NHL teams. He said other teams, which was Switzerland.
It really has me rethinking the 2018 draft. So here's the top seven scorers. How would you redraft?
Okay.
Brady Tkachuk, Quinn Hughes, Andrei Svechnikov, Rasmus Dahlin, Noah Dobson, Joel Farabee, Evan Bouchard. Those are your top seven scorers in order. Of course, the reason we're mentioning this, Zadina was taken famously sixth overall by Detroit, one ahead of Quinn Hughes.
Yeah, that is a tough one. And obviously, Zadina had a really good first season in Detroit. It just fizzled out from there. Decent, yeah, but it's good for a first-year player. I looked at him. I watched his
I'm going to stop using the word good at some point here. You know, I reserve great for greatness. Like,
yeah, I know, but he had a good, he had a good season. It was showing promises. It just never got there. So
it was a promising season. I'll give you that.
Promising. Yeah. It would, you have, you're a prospect. You know,
okay. So who are you taking? Yet. Number one, Tkachuk, Hughes, Svechnikov, Dahlin, Dobson, Farabee, Bouchard.
Well, I do like Dahlin for what he does, but I think in these circumstances, I'm taking Brady Tkachuk first.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Even though I like Matthew Tkachuk more than Brady Tkachuk.
Why does Quinn Norris Trophy Hughes not elevate to number one instantly for you?
I think he's number two and Dahlin's number three. That's how I would see the whole the whole draft in my order. I think Brady Tkachuk is... It's been in Ottawa. It's been tough. We could say the same thing about Dahlin. Been in Buffalo. It's been tough the last 100%. Few years.
Yep.
Quinn Hughes has been in Vancouver and
was also tough. It was some very tough recently.
Years, but last year was better and it elevated him a little bit more. But yeah. one year of Ottawa doing really good things. So 1 year of Buffalo getting into the playoffs and all of a sudden Dahlin and Tkachuk are seen in a much different light like Quinn Hughes has been seen the last year.
Yes, so may that be this year, and single game tickets are on sale now for this Sabres season that will begin in Czechia. But then, once they return home, 40 home games at KeyBank Center. You can, of course, get tickets for any home game through Ticketmaster. Sabres.com/tickets. Want to see it at KeyBank this season. Big birthday from a historical perspective in Saberland. We'll talk about that next. And maybe team of the day. Stay with us.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back. Always nice when we can celebrate a birthday of an awesome guy. That is Jerry Meehan, who was an original Sabre when play began for the Blue and Gold in 70-71. He would soon become captain and the only captain to then become general manager of the franchise. And what's incredible and things I've learned and or relearned today, Marty, about Jerry, he was Buffalo's 15th selection in the expansion draft.
Yes.
Remember, it was Buffalo and Vancouver coming in. He was 29th in the expansion draft. Mm-hmm. And when you consider that he was their third leading scorer that year, 55 points, had some very good years for Buffalo before being traded in the year the Sabres would go to the Cup Final in 74-75, he and Mike Robitaille were sent to Vancouver for defenseman Jocelyn Givermont, who was very, very good in his time as a Buffalo Sabre. But there's so many cool things about Jerry. First assist in Sabres history. Of course, he had a multi-point game in their first ever game. They won 2-1 at Pittsburgh. He sets up both goals, including the game winner by Perreault in the third period. They had trouble scoring in their first few games. When they finally got a goal at home in a 1-1 tie with Pittsburgh, it was Jerry Meehan that scored the first home goal in franchise history. And I know you have a lot more to add beyond the statistics and footnotes that accompany Jerry as a player in Sabres history.
Well, here's the thing. Wikipedia sometimes is right and sometimes it's wrong. And right now they forgot to update his age because they still say 77, despite the fact that he turned 78 today. So that's one thing in Wikipedia.
Well, if you made a donation to Wikipedia, that would have been rectified. Yeah.
Here's the thing that's interesting, because our team of the day, which we'll spend very few minutes on, is the Philadelphia Flyers. But at the end of the 71-72 regular season, the Flyers needed a win or a tie against the Sabres, and who scored the goal that eliminated the Flyers from the playoffs is Jerry Meehan.
Where he came from in the expansion draft.
Yes, because it was Flyers, Toronto, and then obviously Buffalo. So So
and you know what else?
What?
I didn't realize Buffalo's first pick in the expansion draft was Tom Webster, the late Tom Webster, who was legendary coach, you know, when his playing days were done. But Webster was immediately traded to Detroit for Roger Crozier.
Oh, so that's how it brought Roger Crozier
over. And Roger, of course, I mean, we honestly should at some point do a show, multiple shows on Sabre netminders and Crozier's impact on the game individually, and especially for a team that was just trying to establish itself like the Sabres. Like, think of Buffalo's first ever home game. Montreal came in.
Phil Montreal, Mayer and net for the Montreal Canadiens.
Montreal won 3-0. Phil Mayer pitches a Biron shutout, making 14 saves.
Yes.
While poor Roger stood at the other end and stopped 50 of 53 against the juggernaut Habs, only to lose 3-0. Like, there's just, but I have to say, I did not know this. This is game 5 in Buffalo franchise history that I'm about to hit you with.
Okay.
There was a record, a franchise record set in the 5th game in franchise history that still stands today.
And
I would dare present it in the form of, will it ever be broken?
I don't know.
Reggie Fleming, the late Reggie Fleming. This was against Pittsburgh. And he clearly got into it with Brian Watson very early.
Oh, penalty.
Now, Reggie went off 2 minors, a major, and a 10. Watson went off with a single minor, a major, and a 10. Well, this was in the first minute. Before 5 minutes had elapsed, there are more penalties called. And obviously, Reggie was not thrilled with Brian Lewis, who was, I'm assuming here, that it was a rant towards Brian Lewis and the calls being made, or he was still losing his crap over Brian Watson and the other side of the box. He gets another 10 and a game. The game is not even 5 minutes old, and Reggie Fleming amassed 39 minutes in penalties and was gone. And
so
there's
he ended up getting more penalties, but from the penalty bench, because he wasn't going to play in the first period. He had two twos, a five, and a 10. So that's 19 minutes right
and
there.
And through the hardest working team in hockey era with Ray and May and Barnaby at
that's
all.
That's never been done.
There was never a Sabre that picked up 39 penalty minutes in a game.
He probably played 20 seconds of ice time and had 39 penalty minutes because that was his first shift in the first minute. So
isn't that incredible?
Okay, Jeremy Ian, incredible, yes, player, captain, but more importantly, is addition to the front office, right? Drafting Pierre Turgeon and getting Alex McGillney, Dale Hawerchuk, Pat LaFontaine, getting Dominic Hasek. Like, those are all Jeremy Ian moves. Like, there, and let's also remember, like, after his playing career, he got a undergraduate degree from Canisius, right? And then he went to and the University of Buffalo Law School, continued to teach and to be involved in the community, like, has done so much great work with the Alumni Association, trying to help a lot of alumni. So he's always had that thinking cap on. How can we advance? How can we get better? How can we not deferring, getting better now and getting better later? So that has been Jeremy Ian's, you know, contribution to the organization, to this area. And to see him every year at the arena, at the golf tournament, at alumni events, he's definitely one you got to spend 5 minutes to talk to, because every time you talk to him, you walk away with a big smile and with greater knowledge.
100%. And when we went through our 50th anniversary season not that long ago, just being around some of those sit-down interviews and hearing, maybe again, but sometimes for the first time, you know, just how things came to be at certain times in franchise history. Jerry's in the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame. I hope someday it's the Sabres Hall of Fame as well. And yes, just an absolutely, you said it, he is there to help. And whether it was players or next generation students who looked at sports and wanted to get into it via the, you know, the law side of things, and which is, what did we start the show talking about?
About contracts.
Massive contracts, deferred money, all this, everything that goes into this kind of stuff, right? He's just so sharp, and it's been an absolute treat. So happy birthday, Jerry. And then isn't that fitting that you mentioned Philadelphia?
Yes.
And he came from Philly, and Philly's our team of the day, so why not do a quick little blurb on the Flyers? They are, well, Puckpedia has them as one of four teams right now that are over the cap, so they'll get that sorted out before the season begins. They do have a lot of dead.
You would hope, you would think, but
yeah, they, I mean, it would be funny if they couldn't get around it and then like get a team suspension and they have to forfeit games. Like, wouldn't that be a new wrinkle in today's NHL?
It's a good number. It's 900,000, right? Just a little under 900. So, okay, it may be one player, right? A player that's making, you know, 900,000. You say, okay, you go spend a little bit of time in the minors until we get an injury. And that's what it is.
Yes, and they've got a lot of dead cap, if you will. Cal Peterson buried in the minors. You've got money still owing to Kevin Hayes, Cam Atkinson, Tony D'Angelo. So they're working with their hands behind their back a little bit as far as building the best roster possible right now and next year before all of this comes off the books. Last year was, it became, I don't know if I can say controversial, but a talking point, you know, when your captain is sitting out and the question now remains, like, what is the reasonable expectation in the remaining 4 years of Sean Couturier's deal, right? At 7.7. They got the future with Konechny locked up. He still has another bargain year this year before going into his 8-year, $70 million deal. There were times where people wondered, is Joel Farabee going to remain a Philadelphia Flyer? He's got 4 years left at $5 million per. It's been pretty consistent. Morgan Frost is about to embark on the biggest season of his professional life, entering into the last year of his deal. He's a former first-rounder, making 2.1. Tortorella's shown him tough love, and Frost is going to walk himself into restricted free agency again here. So big opportunity for him. And of course, when you're talking about all these forwards, probably the most interesting name is going to be Matvei Michkov, right?
Matvei Michkov is the one lone addition, I think, that the Flyers made over the summer. Their roster is basically the same. But I think you mentioned Sean Couturier. I feel like Sean Couturier would be the perfect guy to start the season with Matvei Michkov, right? You just put a veteran that is responsible, that can teach the captain and can help Michkov, and then that allows Frost to maybe play with Konechny on the second line. You balance it out a little bit. I still don't think that the Flyers are a team that is going to be getting close to the playoffs this year. I think they overperformed last year. Not sure that they're going to be there this year. Their goaltending, obviously, you know, Samuel Ersson started well, fizzled out, played a lot of games, maybe too much. Fedotov is a big question mark. I don't like their back end. I don't like their goaltending. I think their forwards are pretty good. And just quickly, we mentioned the Flyers were over the cap, but there's the Ryan Johansson thing that's kind of lingering. That could be $4 million off the cap. That could be a settlement. That could be a number we don't know yet, which is also going to be a bit of a soap opera going into the camp and the first day of the regular season. What is going to happen with Ryan Johansson? He's not going to Philly, but there's $4 million of cap figure that's there.
I don't have the doubts that you seem to have in Philly. It's year three under Tortorella. They went from 61 to 75 and then from 75 to 87. So I would present from 87 to what? And I think it'll be mid-90s. And then the fight will be on as far as, you know, for positioning and all that. They have missed the postseason 4 years in a row, almost shockingly last year, based on how good they were for the majority of the year. Mm-hmm. It's the second longest drought without playoffs in franchise history, and they've missed eight of the last 12 years, having amassed just one series win over that time. The goaltending is interesting. Ersson may have tired a little bit, as the entire group may have. But he's got 2 years left at the, you know, ridiculous bargain of 1.4 per. Mm-hmm. But they obviously like Fedotov enough that even in his cameo in North America, they quickly extended him for 2 years at 3.275. So who do they like more, and why did they do what they did with Fedotov?
Well, they did what they did with Fedotov because, look, it's a way to get him to North America. Say, come over, we'll get you the extension, we'll get you the money. There was some, you know, speculation. Is he coming? He ended up staying in Russia to do his military, engagement and all of it. So that was mandatory. But now he's over. You sign him to the extension. You say, we want you. It's $3 million. Knowing that Ersson is at a little over $1.5 million, you're like, okay, we're spending less than five on two goalies. It's fine. Me, it's an overpayment on Fedotov. I think they like Sam Ersson more now. Like, if you start the season, Sam Ersson's your number one goaltender. Fedotov is a big question mark. I'm not a big fan. He's huge. He's massive. But as we saw in the Buffalo game that the Sabres end up winning 4-2 here in Buffalo in April, he doesn't move all that well. And maybe there's an adjustment to the North American game, to the NHL, and that may be in the process right now. But I think Ersson's the guy. Fedotov's is next. After that, hoping to take over by year two, probably.
Chris hit us up at Sabres Live and wants to know if there's any truth to the rumors that Farabee could come to the Sabres.
I think there was always a lot of Farabee discussions, especially over the last 6 months. That's fizzled out. I'm not seeing any player movement when it comes to the Flyers or the Sabres going into this year. Farabee's an interesting player because when I put my lineup together, he's on the third line, and is this a player that wants to play top 6 minutes? Well, would he have that opportunity in Buffalo anyway? Maybe with Thompson and Tuck or with Cousins and Quinn, depending on where Peterka is. I think that's Jason Zucker right now, so I don't think there's a spot in the top six for Buffalo anyway.
All right, Marty's Olympic minutes have come and gone this summer, but he may have landed.
Paralympic minutes, if you want. I can talk about that. I watched a little Paralympic over the weekend.
That too. So there are multiple options for Marty straight ahead here on Sabres Live. But of course, as he mentioned earlier, there's a lot going on hockey-wise, and I would say, fun around the game, which is, as we know, Sabres Fan Fest, which is rapidly approaching, and it encompasses Hockey Fest as well. Fan Fest, presented by Coca-Cola Zero Sugar. Fun games, skills challenges, player appearances, autographs. It all runs in conjunction with the Street Hockey Tournament, which is Hockey Fest, right out on RJ Way, Alumni Plaza, Saturday, September 14th. Go to sabres.com/fanfest, and we're back after this.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
I don't know what's come over me. You have no idea how much I want to sing today, and that would be a disturbing trend to start for this audience. But anyway, I was going to say, you know I talk too much. Do you know that song? You know I talk too much.
No.
You don't? No, it's by Coin. I'll be seeing Coin at the end of the month. So there you go.
Well, good.
But I do talk too much. Therefore, I'm bestowing the final 90 seconds to you.
Well, just because it was the Olympic minutes during the, summer Paris Olympics, and now the Paralympics are going on. I encourage everybody to go and support those athletes and watch it. Here in Canada, we get the CBC, so they're on as well. NBC has had some coverage. Peacock has coverage. But there's a great story out of Humboldt, Saskatchewan, because Jacob Wasserman was in the Humboldt crash a few years back and obviously survived the crash, one of the lucky that survived, but could not continue playing hockey. And he switched in 2022. He switched from basically wanting to continue into maybe some type of hockey, but he went to rowing. And he is now in the Paralympics in Paris after this horrific crash that caused the lives of many in that bus. He is now a Paralympian, and he's on the water, and he was a goalie. So I love goalies, and I obviously want to show some support there. But he's definitely a fighter, and he's kept on going, and this is incredible. I've watched some wheelchair racing with a crazy finish of 8 of them at the finish line trying to get there. It ended up in a crash, but it was amazing. So there's some great events to keep an eye on.
Yeah, it's honestly, it never ceases to amaze every form of Olympic athlete that we've been able to witness this summer. It's an absolute treat. So wise words from Marty to continue watching on that front. We'll be back tomorrow on Sabres Live.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.